Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Mortgage giant swings the axe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Problems in the mortgage market can be summed up in two words: Countrywide Financial. It's the largest mortgage lender in the country, originating about 20% of home loans in the first half of the year. The credit crunch raised questions last week about whether Countrywide would survive. Some on Wall Street were even saying Countrywide's problems may have been a factor in the Fed cutting the discount rate. This morning, the Wall Street Journal is reporting Countrywide is cutting jobs. The layoffs are focused in the company's Full Spectrum lending unit. Full Spectrum services borrowers who don't document their income. Friday's recovery for Wall Street has given a boost to stock markets in Asia. On top of that, central banks in Japan and Australia injected more cash into their banking systems. Overnight in Tokyo, the Nikkei was up 3%, Hong Kong surged nearly 6%, and the market in Shanghai ended up by more than 5%. Friday, the Dow finished up nearly 2%, while the S&P and the NASDAQ each gained more than 2%. The head of the Swiss Central Bank is saying the crisis in the financial markets is far from over. In interviews over the weekend, a warning of further massive losses from U.S. subprime mortgages. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The head of the Swiss National Bank, Jean-Pierre Roth, is scathing about U.S. subprime lending. Something unbelievable happened, he says. People who had neither income nor capital got credit with very attractive conditions. Now reality is striking back. Roth predicted further market turmoil. Neil McKinnon of the ECU Currency Fund Management Group agrees. He says even though central banks are pumping money into the system, credit is getting harder to come by all the time.
There's been a tightening of lending criteria generally, which will make it much more difficult for companies, for individuals to obtain credit over the short to medium term.
During the weekend, it emerged that a second large German bank, the Saxon Landesbank, had been bailed out after losing billions on its subprime investments. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The U.S. isn't the only country struggling to deal with the safety of Chinese-made products. New Zealand is investigating cases of imported children's clothing with dangerously high levels of formaldehyde. China appears to be taking safety issues seriously. The Chinese government announced a crackdown Friday on unlicensed factories and planned more random inspections. Here in the U.S., a White House task force on import safety will issue its recommendations this fall. We have more from John Dimsdale.
America's only real option to shield consumers is to beef up the screening of imports, especially from China. But that poses a dilemma for an administration that believes in the gospel of free trade. How to inspect more of the $300 billion worth of Chinese goods that stream in every year without creating costly bottlenecks? William Reinsch, the president of the National Foreign Trade Council, envisions a nightmare scenario.
If you're inspecting at the dock, for example, that means it may be sitting at the dock a long time. Then, of course, when things start spoiling and it's the fault of an inspection regime that takes too long, the importer starts suing you because you've cost them a whole pile of money.
Reinsch says it'll take a lot more government inspectors and screening facilities to catch contaminated products before they get into the country. Costly, but worth it, he says, if the extra vigilance gives Americans the confidence to buy even more imports. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Don't get mad at Jim Cramer, but if you count on the CNBC host for your next stock pick, he may be selling you short. Barron's reports Cramer's stock picks on his nightly show Mad Money haven't beaten the market over the past 2 years. Cramer's stocks went up 12%. That compares to a 22% rise in the Dow and a 16% increase in the S&P 500 during that period. But the article does note that Cramer's advice is generally smart.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to help children in under-resourced public schools achieve academic success in math and science. TeachForAmerica.org.
What do you think of when I say American cheese? Gone are the days of those school bus yellow slabs wrapped in plastic. Today, 43 states are home to artisan cheesemakers. They're handcrafting more than 350 varieties, rivaling the best cheeses in the world. And people are willing to pay a hefty premium for these fine domestic cheeses. Daniel Weiss reports on the way artisanal cheesemakers are doing business.
Matteo Keeler is spending $3 million to dig a 20,000-square-foot hole in the ground. He makes cheese at Jasper Hill Farm in Vermont's Northeast Kingdom. When it's finished, Keeler's underground aging cave will have room for 1 million pounds of cheese. A decade ago, an American cheesemaker wouldn't have dreamed of such an ambitious project.
What we're really doing here is turning a movement into an industry.
The market for artisanal cheese is growing at around 20% a year. American cheeses have become so popular that Mike Gingrich of Uplands Cheese in Wisconsin can retail his Pleasant Ridge Reserve for up to $29 a pound. That's almost 8 times what you'd paid for basic cheddar at the supermarket.
Finances are pretty thin when you're just a medium-sized dairy farm in the Midwest selling fluid milk. So this really gives us a lot more elbow room.
Gingrich is one of the few small artisanal cheesemakers with a nationwide distribution network. Many other artisanal cheesemakers lack market power and have trouble making ends meet. By building his cheese cave, Matteo Keeler is adopting a European model. He plans to age, market, and distribute cheese made on dozens of local farms.
They can concentrate on making great milk and turning that milk into cheese. We, on the other hand, will be able to capitalize on the efficiencies of scale that small producers can't afford to.
Keeler says his project should help make current cheesemakers more profitable. He hopes other farms will be encouraged to take up cheesemaking as well. There's plenty of demand for their product. American artisanal cheese flies off the shelves in the U.S. It's even catching the attention of European connoisseurs. Allison Hooper, co-owner of Vermont Butter and Cheese Company, is working with a French distributor.
If we can sort of put our toe in the water and some people have an interest in our cheese, I think it would be foolish not to take them up on it, just to see what happens.
Hooper hopes her cheese will be available in finer French fromageries by the end of the year. I'm Daniel Weiss for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.